Today and for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the topic of strongholds. And what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a place, and it's a real place. It's actually a military term that's used, you know, if you scan the NIV, it's 52 times it's used in the NIV. And the overwhelming amount of times it was used to denote a place where, like, people would go, like fighters would go, like the general would go. It's a place that was a holding place. It was oftentimes like a cave, and then it was fortified with guards all around it. So it was a strong, fortified place. It was a place that was almost impenetrable by the outside forces coming in. And so King David, all the time, you just read through the stories of King David, he always ended up many times going into a stronghold. And a stronghold can either be good or a stronghold can be bad. You know, Jesus, and all throughout the Bible, because Bible is all about Jesus, either pointing to him, about him, or pointing back to him. But back in the Psalms and stuff, where David talked about God being his stronghold. And you look at it, sometimes you see, and there are songs written about it, you know, that says a mighty, refuge. You know, God is our refuge, like in Psalms 37. It's really talking about that God is a stronghold, that when you sit inside of where God wants you to be, and you sit in the power of his presence, and the power of his Holy Spirit, there's a whole bunch of angels guarding around you when you're in that stronghold. And so a stronghold can be a really, really, really good thing. But just like a coin, if you flip a coin, it's the same coin. It had heads, it has tails. A stronghold can be a very bad thing, because a stronghold is also meant to denote a prison. To denote a prison where people would put somebody in like a dungeon and put them in a prison, and there's no way out, and they put guards around the person. And the person, not only nobody can come in to rescue that person, but that person cannot get out of that stronghold. It's like a maximum security prison. You know, in the beginning of the year, last year, and we did it before, in 2017, I asked you folks to ask everybody here to fill out an index card. You might have gotten an index card coming in, and we're going to do it again, so you know what it is. And we asked folks to fill it out with a prayer request of something that's burdening them, that's something that's on their mind that really they'd like to see the Lord deliver for them in 2018. And what I committed to do, and what we committed to do, was that we'd occasionally, from time to time, pull the cards out, and we would pray over these cards and pray over your situation on behalf of you. And so this year, as I was, you know, kind of preparing for this message, it's in this box here, and these are the cards. We had a number of prayer requests, you know, almost 100 prayer requests that was located in these cards. And I did something that, which I didn't do before. I said, I wonder what the similarities are. And so I looked and started looking at similarities. And here, you know, the number one thing that, let me ask you a question. What do you think is the number one thing that people wanted us to pray for? What's that? Families. And our sister over there was right. It was relationships. Husbands, wives, singles, kids. There are people who wanted to get praying that, you know, they'd find that person, and they want to get married, and you know, they didn't tell me this in the prayer request, but there are people who wanted to unfind that person. They people like wanted to get out of their relationships. We had people praying for their kids, their friends. And for all kinds of things related to them, about the relationship that they had, kids with parents, parents with kids, and a big topic was for people coming to know God. The second thing was what I call, for African Americans, for people from the Caribbean, mental illness is like a bad connotation, but it really isn't. And we're going to spend next week talking about the stronghold of depression and stress. But there are people who were here like really worried and worried and to the point where they were paralyzed with worry, with anxiety. People were paralyzed with that they had anger issues and they couldn't get over their anger issues. There was a lack of peace and just kind of dealing with the pressure of feeling that. The third category was financial. Need I say more? When we did our finance series a few months ago, I did a survey to find out, how many people were effectively saving according to the guidelines that I'd put up there. And the number was a little bit less than 30% were saving. So I know the situation that people are under bondage from financial bondage, and they're in a financial stronghold. Now, there are people worried about changing jobs, but they're scared to change their jobs. People were worried about what career to pick, what schooling to take. And then the next one was fear. Just a fear, a paralyzing fear of failure. He's like, I don't want to try because I don't want to fail. And there's a fear of, there was a couple in there about, and I'm paraphrasing, fear of commitment. Like, I don't want to make a commitment to anything because I don't think I'm going to be able to hold up to it. I don't want to make a commitment to a relationship because I don't think I'm going to be able to stand up to it. And fear of, just suffering from a lack of trust. Like, I don't trust this person, and I need to develop my trust. And the other one was God. Just wanted to get closer to God, and I'm listing them in order where people are. This one, the one of addictions, people were addicted to gambling. People were the amazing amount of people that had issues with lusting and porn, and so what, there's kind of like, I don't want to be in this spot. I don't want to be under the bondage of this, but yet still, going into 2018, they're that way. And the last one was health issues, sickness and so forth, so on. And so as I looked over all of these, I started thinking through, like, well, really, what happened in 2018? It's a plug for the every Monday night we have a prayer line, and people can come on and on Wednesdays, your leaders will get together on Wednesday nights also to pray and to just kind of, talk about the things that's concerning you. But we hear the answered prayers. We see we are God's delivering. We see where strongholds have been broken for folks. We see some of the really good things that are happening. But I also know, and again, because I know your personal stories, I know your personal stories, and I know that there are still people who are suffering from the bondage of lying. People are suffering from the bondage of addictions. People are suffering from the bondage of, they just, I was speaking to a guy some time ago, and he said, I know I'm engaged in premarital sex, and I know it's wrong, and the guy was like crying and stuff, and then I said, so what are we going to do? He's like, I love it too much, I'm not going to stop. And he says, I want to stop. In my head, I want to stop. But in my heart, I don't want to stop. That's the paraphrase. So I know some of the stories, and I know that most of us here, we want to get out of the prison. We want to get out of the prison of anger. I was thinking about it because one of the messages maybe on this, it's called gems, but it's not really gem. It's jealousy, envy, malice, and strife. And pride, and we want to get out, but so the question is, well, why don't we get out? And the question is, how do we break out of this prison? How do we gain control of that thing? Or, as Jessica would say in a song that she paraphrased from TLC, that sin. By the way, I just want to pause. I just want to tell you, where's Jessica? I can't see her in here, but I'm sure she's in here. Tell her thanks. And I dropped this on her on, like, I don't know, Tuesday or something like that. And I knew she was sick. And I was like, can you do this? And she She's like, "Okay, Gary, I don't know." I'm like, but she's a trooper, and I want to thank. I think that's her walking back there. So thank you for, even though being sick, coming out and singing that song, because that song really is really the way, talks about the way that we win the victory over that thing, over that stronghold. The reality is that we got to wage war. We got to wage war. We got to declare war and wage war on that thing. We can't just sit back and expect that that thing or that sin is just going to go away, because it simply won't. It's going to come here. And too many times we're on the defensive when God has called us to be on the offensive. And I like how Jesus puts it. And, you know, I'm going to read a passage here in John 11, I believe it is, from even the Message translation. I'm going to explain to you. And this is Jesus talking. The Message translation, he says this, you know, when a strong man, armed to the teeth, stands guard in his front yard, his property is safe and sound. But what if a stronger man comes along with superior weapons? Then the strong man is beaten at his own game, and the arsenal that gave him such confidence is hauled off, and his precious possessions plundered. And you look at that, and Jesus oftentimes did this, you know, he would say something, people like, what? And then, you know, like, you know, after everybody's gone, like, oh, I get it. So I'm gonna spare you from, you know, wait until afterwards and tell you what really this means. The strong man in this case is the devil, is Satan. So when Satan, armed to his teeth, stands guard in his front yard, his property, you in his stronghold is safe and secure. But what if a stronger man, that is God, the Holy Spirit, comes along with superior weapons? With superior weapons provided by spiritual weapons. Then the strong man, the devil, is beaten at his own game. I took the time and I said, okay, let me paraphrase this in Gary speak, and here's what it sounds like. When Satan, armed with his weapons and surrounded by his army of demons, stands guard over his stronghold, which is over you, you can't get out. But what if the Holy Spirit comes along with his superior weapons? Then Satan will be defeated, and the stronghold that he built to keep you is destroyed, and you're freed from his control. Amen. I mean, that is something to say amen about, you know. And if I sound a little preachy this morning, because I am, because we got to go to war. We got to wage war. As that song says, title of the principality is messing with me. Title of the devil is stealing from me. We got to wage war. And so, and today I'm burdened that we as individuals are sitting on when we have superior weapons. We got superior weapons that we can take on some of these strongholds that we have, that we can break free from the strongholds. And I'm declaring to you that I firmly believe that 2019 will be the year when many of us experience freedom. 2019, the word for our church this year in 2019 is freedom, because I am tired of the devil messing, stealing from me. I'm tired of principalities messing with me. The song says, I promise I won't get one more anything. And somebody said to me, I don't want to promise that, because a promise is really a big thing. But I want to tell you this morning that you should stand up and say, you know what, whether it's a promise or not, you devil, you're not going to get any more of me, because I'm waging war. I'm going in with my superior weapons, and I'm taking you down with my superior weapons. And I'm telling you that this year can be the year that you're freed from your bondage. You're freed. Our church, you know, kind of been in this mode for a while. I believe that as a church, we can be free, and we will be free from this, because there's something within our church that's keeping us. And it's time to bust out of that and declare freedom. Freedom from that thing. Freedom from that sin. And I love Jesus. When Jesus, in the passage I meant in the beginning, where I read in the beginning, when Jesus stepped in, when he went back to Nazareth, to the place where he grew up, and he stepped into the synagogue, And he sat down and he got the scroll. And he stood up and he was reading Isaiah 61. And he was saying that the scripture was fulfilled today. And I want to tell you that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the same power that's in Jesus is in us. So when I read these words that Jesus said, I want you to take this, that Jesus is talking to you through me, through his word, right here, right now in 2019. So let's read what Jesus said here. He said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." For those of you guys who feel poor, who can't make ends meet, I'm telling you this morning that 2019 can be your year when God is saying, "I'm proclaiming good news to you." That your 2019 financial will be significantly better than your 2018 was. And I'm here to tell you that I'm proclaiming good news to the poor. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Whatever your stronghold is, whatever my stronghold is, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is saying that he is proclaiming freedom for you. That you don't have to live within the prison of your stronghold. And I'm going to tell you that the prison, there's two types of prisons when that stronghold has. One is your body and the other one is your mind. And we're going to talk about that in a second. "But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the sinners, recovery of sight for the blind." You know what a blind person is? A person who can no longer see. And there's so many of us who have given up on our situation. We have a health problem, and we've given up on God on our health problem, and the devil just put a scale in front of our eyes, and we think that God is just not gonna come true. And God's like, you need to wait, just wait for a second. I'm doing my thing. And we're like, I'm done. And so many of us, and I know because I've been there. That we got this thing that's going on and we just like, I guess I'm going to have to live with it. And the reality is that while that is indeed true, and I'll talk about that in a second, sometimes the answer is that far too many times we're living with something that we don't need to live with. And we're blind. And I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and is anointed me to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's appointed me to set the oppressed free. Throughout 2019, we'll be doing sermon series and stuff, and all the stuff is really designed to give the people who are oppressed, the people who are bothered by all these things that are coming down on them, freedom. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim that 2019 is a year of the Lord's favor." 2019 is a year of the Lord's favor. And I want to tell you this morning that this word is for you today. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, inadvertently, I know that some of you are saying, because I've been there, some of you are saying that, well, how can you declare that, the God doesn't have to heal, God doesn't have to deliver, God doesn't have to do any of that, and yeah, you're right. And you'll quote Paul when Paul says, three times I prayed about this, three seasons I prayed about this. But and then people like hang out on that and like, well, God just, his grace. No. When God says that, hey, when I'm saying my grace is sufficient for you, you don't even realize that while your physical situation is the same, you're emancipated, you're no longer in mental slavery because my strength. I'm stronger in my weakness. And probably the best example of that is in Daniel 3. These three Hebrew boys, and you may know the story. Their name was Shadrach, the Jewish boys. The name is Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro, Abednego. You guys didn't know they were black, right? And these guys, And these guys were in captivity, and I'm telling you, one of these days we're going to talk about the kingdom. Ingrid has been sending me some stuff about the kingdom, like some really great stuff on the kingdom, so thank you, Ingrid. But I tell you, back in the day, when a kingdom conquered another kingdom, what would happen is that they would take the best of the best people, the prettiest girls, the smartest guys, and they'd take them and they'd bring them to the other kingdom and they'd place them in and so forth. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was there, and King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Hey, I'm the great King Nebuchadnezzar, King of Babylon." It's kind of like the United States. We're the United States. We're the big boys. It's kind of like that. And so King Nebuchadnezzar said, "I'm going to make this image that whenever you hear the sound of the music, you got to bow down to this thing, this image." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like, "I ain't going to do that." And they're like, "Well, if you're not going to do that, you're gonna be thrown in the fiery furnace." And they're pretty much, I'm paraphrasing, it says that, I know that God, my God, can deliver me. But if he doesn't, I still ain't going to bow down to your idol. And the thing about it is that, you know, and that's where some of us, you know, are. We're like, you know, "I know that God, but I know he's not going to do it for me." And the fact of the matter is what Paul knew, is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew, that they would be, no matter what their physical situation is mentally, they would be emancipated from their slavery. They would find freedom. And so they threw them in. And the funny thing is, the furnace was so hot that the guys who were throwing them in burned up and died. And the three boys ended up in there. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Okay, this should be pretty crisp by now." And so he looked out from his vantage point. He looked over into the fire. And he didn't see three people. He saw four people walking around in the fire. I want to tell you this morning that in your situation, God wants to come in your situation and walk with you through it. He may not deliver you through it, but he wants to come in and walk with you through it. And there was like, man, they were looking good because none of their clothes was stinched. They didn't even smell like smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar was like, "Snap, they can't burn. God didn't deliver them. God walked with them, but he delivered them. And they weren't touched." But you know, so those are the stories, but I want to come back to the point that so many of us are living in a furnace, and we don't even need to be in the furnace. Because we're not using the superior weapons that God gave us to use. You know, and the thing about weapons is that if you don't know how to use it effectively, well, guess what? It's not as effective. That's pretty deep, right? If you don't know how to use it effectively, then it's not as effective. And we use our offensive weapons as defensive weapons. We are passive in it. We got this sword. But I'm like, I'm not a ninja. I don't know how to use it like Pastor Gary does. I don't know how to use it like Judah Smith or Michael Todd. Or Billy Graham, you know, to pick some people. Like, we're passive. But strongholds don't get broken by being on the defense. Strongholds get broken by waging war. Going on the offense. And in 2019, we're going to do that as a church. We're going to wage war. We're going to do that as individuals. We're going to wage war. And here's how Paul put it, how to wage war against your strongholds. He says this here: "For though we live," in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, "for though we live in this world," when we wage war, we don't wage war as the world does. I'm going to talk about it in a second. See, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, the weapons that we fight with have the power to not just get through strongholds, to demolish strongholds. By that, we demolish every argument. So you come up with, well, you know, demolish those arguments. And every pretension that sets up against the knowledge of God, And I love this. And we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Yeah, he doesn't really get that. You'll get it in a second. See, our strongholds are not necessarily physical. We're not in physical prison. A stronghold is in our minds. And we lose the battle in our minds, in our thoughts. And the devil and his demons, they'll come and they'll whisper stuff inside of his, like, you're an alcoholic. You're a liar. You're a cheater. You're angry. You are destructive. And he goes on and he whispers them into your mind, and he knows something, that the more something is repeated in your mind and allowed to be repeated in your mind, that's called your consciousness, what happens is that after a while it seeps into your subconsciousness. And before you know it, you start to act out what was in your consciousness, but you don't even know why you're acting it out because it's in your subconsciousness. By the way, that subconsciousness thing is literally what's called your heart. And as a man thinketh in his subconscious, the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So after a while, you start to say, well, you know, I have a problem. I'm an alcoholic. Well, yeah, I am no good in school. I am this. And you put a label on yourself and you start living out. And you've lost the battle of the mind, and the devil just sits around and he smiles. And that's what a stronghold is. A stronghold is a lie, because the devil has power, but the devil has no authority over you. Let me say that one more time. The devil has power, but the devil has no authority over the child of God, over the Father of Jesus. He cannot make me do anything unless I believe his lie. Because once he gets me to believe that lie, then I have handed over the authority over to the devil. And so that's why I believe in 2019, God wants you, God wants me to do this. Because you cannot see God's truth about you until you take every thought captive. And like, take every thought captive. And the thought comes in your mind, you take it captive. And then you say, I'm going to make this thought obedient to Christ. It's a straight up scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:5. Take the thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And in order to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, and to gain freedom in 2019, we need to fight that strong spiritual man called the devil with stronger spiritual weapons. In Ephesians 6, you know, he talks about what these spiritual weapons are. He just says this. He says, finally, it's like, look, everything else I told you, let me just kind of wrap it up for you. Be strong in the Lord. Do not be passive. Don't accept your situation that says, I am addicted to porn. I'm addicted. I have a problem with, I'm addicted to lust. Don't accept. No. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That comes from faith. Jonathan is wearing a shirt today. It says faith over feelings. Don't go by your feelings. Go by your faith, because faith is a substance of things hoped for. I'm hoping for something, but I don't see it yet. I know the situation. I'm not oblivious to the situation, but I know my God can deliver me, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So be strong in that now, and put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, or the wiles of the devil, as the King James Version says. And it goes through all these defensive, because the devil is going to like throw all kind of stuff at you. So you need all the defensive. But he says this here in Ephesians 6, I believe it's 16, I think, 17. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. The only two offensive weapons. And they are so powerful. The sword, which is the word of God, and prayer. And so over the next 21 days, I want us to all commit, every single person in here to commit that we're going to do three things. And we need to do these three things because it takes about 21 days of repetition for something to become a habit. Straight up repetition, just over and over again, for something to become a habit. So I just pick 21 days. And it takes 21 days of repetition, a constant repetition of something in your head before it goes from your conscious into your subconscious. I wasn't even planning on saying this. It was a pretty funny story. So when we were growing up, it has nothing to do with the message, but it was just pretty funny. I thought about it. When we were growing up, we had this bird. The bird was, we had a really original name. The name of the bird was Polly. Polly wants a cracker. And we said, we're going to teach this bird to talk. And the bird wouldn't talk. So we were like, okay, we heard that repetition really would make the bird talk. And so we got these, you may not know what a cassette tape is. We got an endless cassette tape, meaning that when it finished, it just automatically turned around and just kept going again. And we recorded on it, Polly wants a cracker, Polly wants a cracker, Polly wants a cracker. And we put it on, and we put it by the bird cage, and we went to school and to work. For hours, that bird listened to that thing. We came home, the bird was like this. And the moment we stopped it, he just perked up. Repetition. Polly still never wanted a cracker. Polly never did talk. And I don't think it was a real bird, actually. But repeat it till it gets into your heart and into your subconscious and governs your actions. So over the next 21 years, I want you to do this, starting this. I want you to use God's word to take control of your thought life. And here's how this is going to play out. Every time you hear something, listen to something, are around somebody who causes you to feel in a way that's contrary to what God's word says, I want you to just open up the Bible and read a passage of scripture. Every time you think about, I'm going to turn on the TV and I'm going to go to the channel, I'm going to go on my phone or on the internet, I want you to say, before I do that, just open up and read any passage of scripture and see what happens when you do that. Just any passage, it doesn't have to be anything special. And you'll find out that X number of times, that alone itself is going to like, I can't do that. But that is still not using your weapon, your sword, as effectively as possible. See, what I want you to do now is to take in another step. And I want you to identify that stronghold in your life. And then I want you to do this proactively. I want you to go to Dr. Google. And Google Bible verses about lust. Bible verses. Bible verses around whatever. And then what's going to come up is a list of Bible verses. And I want you to take those verses and I want you to just read those verses over and over and over again, every single day, multiple times a day. I want you to read them because I want the repetition to go from your head into your subconscious, from your conscious into your subconscious, so that you may have God's word about your situation hidden in your heart. You know, the psalmist says, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin. And what you're doing is you're replacing the lie of what the devil says you are to who God says you are. And you're replacing the lie, you're like, I'm taking territory. Because we're going into battle. And I want you to read that but that is gonna knock out a bunch of times when your stronghold gets back at you. That's like I want you to think about it, that's like, you know, taking a bunch of explosives, and you're throwing it at, and you're throwing it at your strongholds and the guards, and you're causing confusion, and all the demons are like, snap, I can't deal with demons flee at the sound of Jesus' name. And you go around, but they're going to try and regroup and come back at you. So you got to, again, think about how you can use your weapons more effectively. So you now have a word, But not only God's word, but you have God's word about your situation, your specific situation. So step number two, number one is use God's word to control your thought life. Number two is pray God's word. Not just pray, but pray God's word. There's a book that I'm reading by Beth Moore called Praying God's Word. And so the book is that you literally find the Bible verses about your situation and you turn them back into prayer. And so you may find a verse like this, as, you know, you have an issue with self-esteem, or, you know, you don't think you're pretty enough, you're not tall enough. Some of us have a problem not tall enough. I don't know anything about that. But you look at it, you read through Psalms 139, and David is like talking, and you like, you come to verse 14 and says, you're like, okay, I'm going to write that. That's into my prayer. So when I feel that I'm too short, and I feel that I can't reach things on the top shelf, and I have to call Amari, I say, God, I want to thank you, Lord, that I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Lord, I want to thank you that I'm your masterpiece. I'm your handiwork. I was chosen before the beginning of time. And I am going to go out and do great works that you've prepared before in advance for me to do, because only a short dude can do that job. And you created me for that. So take that, Omari. And you turn around, and whatever your situation is, you turn around and you pray God's word. But you got to do it in advance. You got to know God's word in advance. So knowing God's word and then turning back around and praying God's word. And I want to tell you that your firecrackers and stuff that you're causing now, it turns into sticks of dynamite. When you take the thought and you pray God's word, now the same tools, the same weapons, now become dynamite and TNT. They'll take down a whole building. They'll take it down. And sometimes, the person that you know needs for it to take down, they need to take down their life. They're blinded. And so sometimes that fervor of praying God's word, you got to pray it over somebody else. You got to pray it over your brother. Pray it over your sister. You got to pray it over your mother, your father, your kids, your uncle, sister, brother, uncle, even your dog. Here's what the same passage says. Right after, in this kind of going through the armor of God, the next verse says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert. And always keep on praying for the Lord's folks. We have a responsibility to not only pray for ourselves, but with the same fervor, with the same intensity, we bear one another burdens. We go in and we go in hard. We bear one another burdens. And so, you know, we gotta do that. We then load. Huge piece of dynamite takes down huge buildings. But sometimes that still doesn't take out our stronghold. Sometimes the stronghold is so strong that it just stands up and rocks. You know, many of you guys don't know it, but the first time they tried to take out the World Trade Center in New York, some terrorist dudes loaded up a truck filled with all these explosives, and they drove in the parking lot, which is underneath the building, and they detonated the truck. And they thought that thing would take down any structure, and that building just shook, and it rocked, and it stood up. Sometimes you need bigger explosives. When you need a bigger explosive, God says, all right, here's what. And there's a time in the Bible, well, I'll just tell you this. Here's a bigger explosive. You take God's word, you pray God's word, and then you fast and pray God's word. That's like big old planes coming in. That's like nuclear bombs coming in. Like that obliterates, that demolishes strongholds. You know, there was a time in Mark 18, I believe it is, Mark 28, where people came, you know, this guy came to the disciples, and they were, you know, casting out demons, doing all this stuff, doing all these miracles, and then there's something that they couldn't do. they couldn't cast out demons. And then the guy was like, all right, let me go to the source. They went to Jesus, and Jesus cast out demons. And the disciples were like, so if we have the same power, it's, you know, they didn't say that, but I'm saying that, because you gave us the power, why couldn't we do this? And here's what he said. Jesus said, this type of powerful spirit can only be cast out by fasting and prayer. Sometimes you need a nuclear bomb. Sometimes the TNT don't work. And you need nuclear. Some people's like, well, oh, fasting. Like, but don't you get hungry? Like, yeah, but don't you want to get rid of your stronghold? The question is, how much do you want to get rid of your stronghold? And why do we say fast? Well, Jesus modeled it. He did it, you know, and all throughout the Bibles, the apostles will say stuff like, and when you fast. Not if you fast, or when you fast. And I'll tell you that personally, I don't like fasting. I like food. But I had a stronghold. When I became a believer in fasting, I had a stronghold in my life. Some time ago. And the first time I tried fasting, it didn't work. Stronghold was still there. The second time, it got demolished. It got obliterated. And so I'm over the next 21 days, I'm encouraging people to do these three things. Use God's word to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Make it. It's not going to become obedient. You got to make it become obedient to Christ. You got to pray God's word. Pray it. And some things you got to fast and pray about. And so I just want to, before I close out, I just want to spend a few moments talking about fasting, because there is confusion about, really, when I say a 21-day fast, people are like, 21 days without food? And like, let me put your mind's ease. What I'm encouraging us to do is really based on what you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you to do. It's not about trying to prove anybody, I'm going to be on the longest fast of anybody. I'm going to ask everybody, how long are you going to be on? And I'm going to be one day more. I'm going to be pious, but that's not what it's about. It's like, okay, God, what am I burdened about? And how burdened I am about it? And what are you calling me to do? And so, really, you can pick any duration that you want. In the Bible, the fast that I saw in the Bible as I looked around, I saw one day fast that people did, 3, 7, 10, 21, 40. You pick your number. Well, all that is saying is that those were the fasts that people did in the Bible. And I don't think it's prescribed. I think it's whatever the Lord has laid on your heart. And by the way, if you know you start and you set some lofty goal and you don't meet, don't beat yourself up. The thing is that you're in the process of time. What you want to do is the three things that I mentioned, right? Which is, use God's word. It's like take time to understand what God is saying about your situation. And number two, it's during the time, however long it lasts. If it lasts 6 hours, like 6 hours, I'm done. And use the time and pray back God's word to him, personalized to your situation. So the duration can be any duration that you want. So if people are like, 21 days, we're just going to have this period we're going to be talking about for 21 days. Number two, people are like, well, what can I fast, right? This has to be complete fast. A complete fast is a food, it's complete, no food. And I'll say that never, ever stop drinking. You need to drink, right? So you could do he's like, well, I'm going to fast fluids, and then it'd be bad. You'd end up in the hospital. But you can do a complete fast, and, I'll say this also, and then we're probably going to put something out in an email, but is that complete fast requires some prayerful thoughts and preparation. And when you're coming out of it, you need to prepare to come out of it effectively, right? So we'll send out some more about that, So the idea is not to, I'm going to gorge, like I'm going to eat like, you know, 10 days worth of meals before, and because tomorrow I'm going to start this complete fast, and then the moment it's done, you eat 10 more meals to make up for the 10 that you missed. And that'll make you sick. And so, you know, and if you're going to go more than a few days, a couple of days, you need to speak to a healthcare professional, just, you know, to about your situation. So there's a complete fast. A lot of people do is partial fast, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. And then the other one that I call an emotional or a mind fast, and I'll just mention that, right, because there's some confusion. So in 1 Corinthians 7:5, God's talking, you know, through Paul on kind of husband and wife relationship. And 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, hey, you know, you can fast. The husband and wife can fast sex, yeah, for a period of time. You can read it. I didn't write it. Let's just say that I'm not doing that. In Daniel 10:3, when it's talking about the fast that Daniel did, he not only abstained from food, he abstained from things that made him feel good, that appealed to his mind, his emotion. It talks about oils and lotions and perfumes or whatever that kind of, you know, that he certainly wasn't eating that. So I just coined the term emotional or mind fast, which are these things. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But so here are some types of fast. So in a partial fast, you can say something like, well, for X period of time, I'm not going to eat meat. And by the way, it has to be something that your body craves. If you're like, well, I don't like meat anyway, I'm a vegetarian, so that's pretty easy. That's not going to be effective, all right? Something that you really like, all right? So meat, you could say sugar. I'm like, I'm not going to eat anything with any added sugar, right? It could be carbs, like I'm going to go on a no-carb diet. Not to lose weight. You know, people like, well, I'll lose weight in the process, but every time your body earns and yearns and pang for it, you convert that into. And then just Daniel fasts. And Daniel said he ate no desirable food, right? And he listed the things that he didn't eat. But, you know, you take out all the food that you desire and just everything else that's left, all right, you eat that. Yeah, you could do that. An intermittent fast it's like 18-hour fast. You know, you only eat like 6 hours during a 6-hour period of time. A Jewish fast is you don't eat during sunrise to sundown. Those are all fasts that are kind of mentioned in the Bible. So you can put your own play on it, but you get the idea that everybody can do something in it based on your burden and what you feel the Lord calling you as a burden for somebody else. And then, you know, on the emotional fast, it's TV, music, social media. Some people who are workout buffs, certainly not me, as you can tell from this physique, so I wouldn't fast that. So I'd be like, cool. Hanging out with your friends or whatever is like, I'm going to take the time to separate myself. And so you can do, and you can combine them and do whatever in terms of doing that. And so you may ask, well, why would God say a fast, right? And it's really important to understand because we are all the three-part persons. We're a physical body. We're a soul, which is our mind. And our spirit, our mind and emotions, right? Emotional mind thing, our soul. That's what our soul is, and our spirit. So our body is physical. Our mind is kind of how we think about things. The spirit is what communicates with God and how the devil communicates to us through our spirit. The fact is, we as human beings, we fight wars with our strongest weapon. We all do. So if you believe that your strongest weapon is your body, you're going to fight with your physical body. If you believe that your strongest weapon is your mind, you're going to fight with your mind. If you believe that your strongest weapon is your spirit, you're going to fight the sword of the spirit. So how it plays out is this. So say you have an issue with sex. You say that I am going to tell my body that I can go, I'm going to go there, but I'm going to just not do it. I'm going to hang out with a girl. I'm just not going to do it. No matter how much she may want it, I'm not going to do it. And that's relying on your body. Your mind says, you know what? I'm not going to go into the situation that would get me to do it. But what God wants you to do is to take the spirit and says, I'm not even going to want to do it. And that's the place where you want to be at. And the fact is, whatever you feed grows, and whatever you starve dies. So if you want your spirit man to be stronger than your soul man, or your physical man, you got to make your spirit man stronger. You feed the spirit with the three things that I told you, and you starve your emotional man or your physical man. It's just a really simple, it's not complicated. That's what you do. And the question is, what are you burdened about? What do you want freedom from in 2019? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and to close us out. But you have some index cards, and I want you, as the worship team, I'm going to ask them to sing New Wine, and I Surrender All with that. And what I want for you to do on those index cards, I want you to kind of think about that as the song is being played, and you think, it's like, okay, what do I want God to get rid of in my life? And what do I want him to create new wine, which is kind of like just a renewal in? And if you are praying about somebody else, you can put that on the card also. And we have this box here. This is my prayer box for you. And so...